You're gonna try to find me, but I'll already be gone. Gone like a jet plane flight, gone like your money spent. Whole lot of people gonna scratch their head and wonder just where I went.
Somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my brother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land.
On the far side of Jordan, losing these earthly blues, making my way down Golden Street, just wear my fancy shoes. I'll dance cause the trouble's over, I'll dance cause I've reached the top. I'll dance for a million years or more, cause it feels too good to stop. Well,
somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell somebody
I am living in the promised land.
Somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land.
Tell all the sinners, tell all the saints, somebody tell them where I am and tell them where I ain't. Tell everybody till they understand. Ain't no better living than just living in the promised land.
Well, somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother,
somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land.
Somebody tell my sister,
somebody tell my brother, somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell
somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell somebody I am living in the promised land. Somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother, somebody tell my father, somebody tell my mother, somebody tell my sister, somebody tell my brother, somebody tell somebody, I am living in the promise.
Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and do what?
I said, especially Nancy, she's been gone a long time.
Well, Irma, and now we'll look for Paul. He'll be here. All right. Well, everybody knows about chapter 4 and 5, don't you? I say everybody knows about chapter 4 and 5, don't you? I say everybody knows about chapter 4 and 5, don't you? Who said that? Well, honey, I can't come to you. Because you ain't been here. I can't get you because I was going to say, well, tell us about it. You know, chapter 4 starts out after he's seen the church age. He hears this voice as a trumpet, you remember? And it says, come up. Aren't you looking forward to that, folks? Come on now. Come on. Let's listen. Can we, for just a few minutes, lay everything away that would hinder? And can we, for just a few minutes, let our hearts and our minds go home? Go to heaven. You say, Tom, I don't want to go right now. Well, stay here. I'm going to go. He says, come up hither. And he says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne, and him that sat upon it was like a jasper stone and a sardine stone. In other words, he's like this big, beautiful diamond and this big red ruby. In other words, he was trying to describe the glory of Almighty God, and that's the best way he could do it. Huh? Now look, I don't know. I've seen some earthly diamonds look pretty good, and I've seen some earthly rubies look pretty good. But I'm going to tell you what, they're nothing compared to what they look like in heaven. Right? I mean, So he says, I saw around the throne a rainbow as a jasper. And it reminds us of the promise of God. What promise? I go away and prepare a place. And if I go away, I'll come again. Well, I won't just come again. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Folks, that's a promise. That's not just a hope so. That's not just a mythical thing that we try to crutch ourselves on. Listen, that's the Word of God. That's a promise of God. And we are going if we know Christ. Yes, eh?
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at 14. I love that all the way to the end. You want me to read it?
Well, if you love it, read it.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Amen. And he says, comfort one another with these words. What else could comfort Johnny this morning other than knowing, hey, it's not over. I'm going to see my dad again. What else could comfort Helen this morning when she says, I'm going to see Jim again? What could comfort me by seeing I'm going to see my dad and my mom and my sister and all my loved ones that have known Christ and have gone before me? Listen, the rainbow, the faithfulness of God lets me know I'm going to get there. And John saw it. And not only did he see that rainbow, but around that throne. Oh, glory. Yes, honey. What do you mean, who's asleep? Oh, no, honey, no. Remember, I've always said you're only dead if you can't get awakened. But God can wake you up. So therefore, asleep means them that are asleep in Christ. In other words, your body. Your body, listen, can I use Fred? You don't mind. Fred, we just put his body in the grave. Well, in that sense, Fred's just out there sleeping. Just like we left him. Fred's gone on in the spirit, but his body is sleeping. One of these days, there's going to be this great sound, and it's going to be that same voice as a trumpet. That's why it says the last trumpet, bless God. Listen, it's going to be a great voice. He says, and one of these days, I'm going to shout out, and them that have believed in me, they shall raise to everlasting life. But those that haven't believed in me shall raise to damnation. Everybody's going to hear that voice and everybody's going to get awakened, bless God, because listen, you're only asleep if you're only dead if you can't get awakened, and there is nobody that God can't wake. Just ask Lazarus, just ask Jairus' daughter, just ask the widow's of Nain's son. Listen, when God says get up, bless God, you're going to get up. On that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. There's a song, you know. Yeah, there you go. There ain't no grave going to hold my back. But does that answer your question?
Kind of.
Well, you see me later, and I'll go deeper. So there's this rainbow that lets us know the promise of God, the faithfulness of God. Listen, that's all we've got to rely on, folks, but that's all we need. Listen, the faithfulness of God is all we need. You know what the faithfulness of God produces? The faith that saves you. When you believe Christ for salvation, do you know what God gives you? Faith. Did Christ have faith in the Father? Well, certainly he did. Well, it is that faith that he had in the Father that he gives you to have faith in him. So you've got faith in the Son, and the Son has faith in the Father. Bless God, it's going to be. That's how it is. So he says, that, and then I saw 24 seats around the throne, 24 thrones. And on those thrones were 24 elders, and they were clothed in white raiment and crowns of gold. Say, Tom, don't teach it over again. I told you I don't want to leave. I'm liking it. If you get tired of heaven, that's bad. I don't get tired of it. And then he says, then I saw four living creatures, and they had different faces. And we talked about, that's talking about they represent the creation of God. Everything that hath breath is represented in heaven because it's the creation of God. And remember, because the reason we know that is the very last verse in chapter 4 says what? It says that he created everything for his pleasure. For his pleasure. He's created everything for his pleasure. For his glory. In other words, so that he would receive glory. Well, it's represented around the throne. Because the one on the throne is the one who created everything. It's the Father on the throne. And then we go to chapter 5 and he says, and he that sat upon the throne had something in his hand. Had a scroll, a book in his hand. And this mighty angel, it says, this mighty angel hollers out, who is worthy? And they searched through heaven, and they searched through earth, and they found don't miss that word, man. Now, ladies, don't be offended by that. But they found no man worthy. Worthy. And then it comes on down there and it says, who is able? In other words, we need someone that's worthy. And then we need someone that's able. That has the power, the authority. And John, because they found no man, begins to weep. Why is he weeping? Why would that cause him to weep? Let's go over and see if we can find something that would help us understand. You know, there's a book that helps you understand all this. I hope y'all brought it this morning. It's in Psalm 69 if you want to go there. But as you go to Psalm 69, does anyone remember Psalms 51? Does anybody remember that psalm? That's the great psalm where David is asking for mercy. He says, my sin is, I'm miserable. My sin is always before me. Can you cleanse me with hyssop? And can you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? What is he doing there? Who said that? Who said praying? Oh, I did. He's praying. He's praying. What don't you remember in chapter 5? There was something mentioned about the prayers of the saints. That was that sweet savor, the odor, and it was the prayers of the saints. Well, here's an illustration of what it's talking about. David is praying for something that will not come till centuries after he's gone. He will never know the fulfillment of that prayer while he's living on this earth. But guess where he goes after he dies? Huh? Oh, no. No. No, he didn't go to heaven. He couldn't go to heaven. He had to go to paradise. He had to go to this place where they're kept. You remember when the rich man died and he looked across the gulf and he said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus over here with a little water, just a drop on my tongue? I'm tormenting these flames. And Abraham says, oh, I can't. There's this great gulf that separates us. There was this gulf that separated those that believed God and those that didn't believe God. Those that believed were over here with Abraham. Those that didn't believe were over here in hell. Both were waiting on the fulfillment of the promise. Abraham was waiting along with all the other Old Testament saints for the day the Lord Jesus Christ would die on that cross and he would go and take captivity captive and he would go to paradise and he would say, I told you I'd be here. And he took them home. Well, we don't go to paradise now, folks. That promise is made. As soon as you die, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't have to worry, honey. Your next breath will be in the presence of Almighty God. Whew, glory, ain't that good? Huh? No wonder I don't want to come back. Why would I want to come back to this godless... Did you see out in Minnesota now they want to take out "In God We Trust" out of the school? Even if it's voluntary and some private person wants to pay for the sign that says "In God We Trust," here's these fools out there that says, I don't want "In God We Trust" on my money and I don't want it in schools. Well, I got news for them. It won't be where they're going either. You say, Tom, you say that with some glee. No, I don't.
Hey, Tom, you send us all the money that says "In God We Trust," we'll take it.
Yeah, I told him, I start saying, well, son, you can take all that out of your pocket because I got news for you. I don't care if you're a saint or a sinner. If you've got money, God give it to you.
Yeah.
Hey, like that.
Amen.
Now, so here we are in Psalms 69. I'm going to read it sort of in a weird way, but I'm a weird person. Psalm 69. Save me, O God. What is that? Well, we call it a prayer. He's praying. He says, save me, O God. For the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire. There's no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. Well, isn't that what John's feeling over when he says there's no man that can help us? And all of a sudden he feels himself in that mire. He feels himself in that flood. And he says, listen, if we don't find somebody, bless God, that's where we're going to stay. Well, if that don't cause tears to you, there's something wrong. The greatest day I ever had was a day at a red light. When I felt my feet come out of the mire. When I felt the waters go away. The burden of sin was gone. I went through free, yet captive. Hey, like that. I went through free, but a prisoner. A prisoner to God. And thankful to be that. Well, that's what David is saying here. He's saying, save me. Somebody save me. I can't stand this. My sin is too great for me. I'm weary of my... Folks, listen. Don't get me wrong. Please, I beg you not to. Where is the weeping over sin anymore? I'm talking about from the saint and the sinner. Wh- where's that depth of despair that we should feel and cry out to God if He's already saved us to save those we love, even those we don't love? Because if He would save them, then they would know what it's like to be out of that deep despair, that deep miry pit, that water overflowing them. They would know then. And He says, I've wept so much that my eyes now are dry. You ever been there? I've been there. Oh God, Thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from Thee. Why is he weeping? Over his sin. And he knows he can't do one thing about it. And he's gone to the only person that could help him. God. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of Thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach Thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. They made fun of me. You don't think the world would make fun of you, Becky, if they saw you weeping over someone's sin? Over your own sin? They will. They will. But that shouldn't stop us. That shouldn't stop us. But as for me, my... That's verse 13. As for me, my... Well, wasn't that what John saw in heaven? The prayers of the saints? Do you think David's prayer was just misting away? I can't think of a word this morning. I'm sorry. You think it was just going up and disappearing? Thank you, honey. I tell you what, I wish I had you all the time. His prayer wasn't evaporating. Thank you. Oh, that's nice. His prayer wasn't evaporating. You know where it was going? Going right into the throne room. And it was putting a vial to be opened later. Hey, like that. Huh? To be opened later, bless God. Hey, like that. When you put me in the casket, bless God, I tell you, I just got me a thought. When you put me in there, just say, to be opened later. Hey, man, wasn't that good? Praise God, I tell you what, I'm having a good time here. Y'all may not be, but I am, I tell you. Tell them I'm living in the promised land. Praise God. I don't even know where I am now. But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy. Hear me. And in the truth of Thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire. And let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. When would that prayer be answered? Huh? Years later at Calvary, when the Son would do this, say, David, I'm going to answer you. Woo! Glory, that's good. David, you remember that prayer? Well, now I'm going to fulfill it, Son. I'm going to deliver you. You've waited in paradise all these years, waiting for the answer. Well, get ready, I'm coming. I'm going to come and get you. Well, he did go get them, and we get the same prayer. He's coming to get us, folks. Listen, if it don't excite you, then check yourself out. It ought to excite you to know he's coming for you.
That's right.
But then over in Peter, he says, well, knowing these things, what manner of person ought we to be? If we know it, we ought to live it. We ought to let the world know we know it. Let's don't be secret Christians, folks. Let's don't be timid Christians. Let's don't be ashamed Christians. Hey, let's be bold, bless God. Listen, we're children of God. The world don't understand that. They would mock that. They would laugh at that. They would scorn that. But if they don't become a child of God, one day their laughter will turn to torment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. That's not a fun thing for me to say. That's not a good thing for me to say. I don't enjoy saying that, folks. But we better be saying it more. I don't think we're saying it quite enough, to be honest with you. I don't think it's preached enough. Listen, I understand what people say when they say, well, I don't want to scare people into getting saved. Listen, I wish I could scare the hell out of them. Huh?
I got one for you. If you want God to direct your steps, get up out of your easy chair.
That's a good one. But folks, we need to understand the joys of heaven, but the torment of hell. If you've got loved ones, if I've got loved ones, they need not only just see it in their lives, we need to be telling them. You're going to face God. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, now listen, I'm going to say it this way, and you'll understand later what I mean. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, chapter 6. You see why I don't want to leave 4 and 5 and go to 6? I want to just relish in the atmosphere of the Lord. But folks, when it gets to 6, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be enjoyable. Judgment's coming. It's coming to this earth. It's coming to those that dwell on this earth. Those that don't know Christ, it's coming. Just as sure as I'm standing here, it's coming. So he says this, and I've got to hurry along. Verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy forgiveness is good. Well, I know that. Their loving kindness is good. I'm sorry. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Did you feel that way before he saved you? Did you feel in trouble? I did. I tell you what, for the first time in my life, I knew I couldn't go through that red light until I got right. I knew I was in trouble. Now, I don't know what your experience is. I know mine. But David here says, I'm in trouble. But he's gone to the one who can get him out of trouble. Huh? You say, Tom, where are you going with this? Well, just hang in there. You're getting ready to find out. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and Well, wait a minute. Seems to me like that's the new song. Oh, it is the new song in chapter 5, isn't it? And they sang a new song. Worthy is the Lamb, for He hath redeemed us. David says, redeem me, O Lord. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, does that sound familiar? I needed somebody that could help me, but I didn't find anybody. I couldn't find no man. But I know you can help me, God. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Here it comes. Let the heaven and the earth praise him. The seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, Israel, and will build the cities of Judah, Israel, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. David, how in the world can you know that? Well, the Holy Spirit's writing it, folks. David might as well have been writing Revelation right there. He's talking about the restoration of Israel, of whom he's a part. You remember when John was told to stop weeping, and he saw something. What did he see? Well, first of all, he was told, they said, behold the Lion of the tribe of, and the Root of. What's that talking about? Well, first of all, if you read in Genesis, it says that a scepter shall not pass from Judah till Shiloh come. Peace. In other words, Israel is never going to be without a king till peace comes. And the peace will be the final king of Israel. Jesus Christ. He is the Root of David. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to restore that nation over there that everyone's mocking at, that everyone's laughing at, that everyone hates. You say, you mean all over? No. Not everyone that's in Israel is of Israel. That's what this book says. Only the remnant. Those that are a Jew, not outwardly, but inwardly. That's who he's going to restore. And guess what? They're going to get all the possessions that he promised them. All the land. Listen, that land over there that other nations now says belongs to them. I got news for them. That land is going to be done away with. And it's going to be given to Israel just like God promised. It's all coming to fulfillment. Why? Because it's in the Father's hand. And the Lamb comes and he is able. And he takes out that deed to the title deed to the earth. And he says, not only am I worthy, I'm able to take it. And he takes it. And it's sealed with seven seals. And as each seal is broken, then the process begins. The process of taking back. Listen, in the Garden of Eden, who had dominion over all the earth? Huh? Man did. God gave it to man. But when man sinned, Satan took it. And today, he is called the prince of the power of the air. But I got news for him. One day, he's going to be cast out of heaven unto earth. And God is going to take back everything that he's created. And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to burn it. You know, I bought a home that was built in 1910. It's an old home. And we restored it. And my wife tried to leave the 1910 footprint as much as she could and add some modern things to it. But that's called a restoration. Right. Guess what? The house is still 108 years old. I don't care how good I made it look, how much money I spent on it. It's still a 108-year-old house. It's an old house. This old house is getting shaky. This old house lets in the cold. Yeah, y'all heard that? Well, let me tell you something. One of these days, God's not going to restore this earth. He's not going to make over this earth. He's going to burn this earth to the ground. And then he's going to say, let there be a new heaven and a new earth, bless God. And guess who's going to live there? The new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're going to live on a new earth with a new heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? Without sin. Glory. So he says this, and I got to hurry. Let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein, for God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah. Now look back at chapter 5 real quick. I got to finish. Chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. That was the way redemption would occur, folks. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Period. And there can be no doing away with the curse. The sin curse could not be done away with until someone paid the ultimate sacrifice. That's why he was weeping so hard. They couldn't find anybody, but then they found someone. They didn't find a lion, and they didn't find the king of day, the king, the Davidic line to David's throne. They found a lamb, a little old bitty lamb, standing there in the midst of the throne. Why is it in the midst of the throne? Because the lamb's God, folks. Just sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, I'm standing where I'm standing. The Lamb was God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But he says, listen, I'm not just a man, bless God, I'm God. And if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. Period. It was God, it was only God that could lift us out of that miry pit, that could take away the waters that was overflowing us, that could do away with our sin. No man was able. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I hear people that say you're not born in depravity. And look, I don't get in those arguments that people can believe what they want to believe. I believe what I believe. That's me. But I believe everyone is born depraved. And you say, but what about little children? If one dies, do they go to heaven? Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, I'm standing where I'm standing. Why? Because the price has been paid, folks. The price has been paid. And they're not guilty of that sin until the law comes, until they understand that sin. Listen, it's like this. We don't have any in here. This old bunch. Oh, for crying out loud. I'd like to have one little child in here, but let's use clay. Now, clay's learning to drive. Trust me, he's learning to drive. And he makes wide turns. But he's learning to drive. Now, let's say 2 years ago, Clay gets in the car, and he just goes flying down the road. And they pull him over. And the guy says, son, don't you know you're breaking the law? No. Well, you was doing 75 and a 55. Well, I didn't know about 55. The law was there, right? But if you don't understand the law, if you can't adapt to the law, you can't be held responsible for it, can you? That's why a child that is that dies, it goes to heaven because the price of sin was paid, but the child never understood the sin. But the day the child, Paul said it like this, when the law came, I died. When I understood the law of God, then I was dead in trespass and sin right there. Right then and there. Now you're responsible. Now you've got to come to the only one that can save you. And here they're searching, and they can't find anyone because all have sinned and come short. But then they found this lamb, and this lamb was spotless and without sin. And he says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the... There they are. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think your prayer is going unanswered, folks. If you don't see an answer, guess where it's at? It's up there getting ready to get answered. It's just a matter of time. In God's time, he's going to answer the prayer. So he says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by... Well, isn't that what he said in chapter 1? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look, I know all about heaven. I do. I know it's in the third heaven. That's where God is. But I got news for you, folks. When he comes back and when he makes a new heaven, new earth, we're going to be right here. We're going to reign on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? There's a new Jerusalem. And if we want to go over and see new Jerusalem, we just go. Wherever God is heaven, folks. Amen. And he's going to be right here. It says he is. And he says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. How many is that? You math majors. Huh? Well, that's a bunch. That's right. How many is 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Come on now, you're a math teacher back there. Give us how much that is. Do it in your head real quick. An innumerable number, right? Well, isn't that exactly what he told Abraham, bless God? If you can number the sands of the sea, if you can number the stars in the heaven, bless God, then you can number the children of God. But you can't, and I can't. All I know is it's going to be this huge number. You say, boy, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but you know what the sad part is? There's going to be a larger number in hell. That's what's sad. You know, all this huge number around the throne enjoying the blessings of God, the blessings of heaven. And here's this greater number choosing hell. I have set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. Isn't that wonderful that God would not only give you the choices, he'd tell you which one to choose. Praise God. I love him. I tell you, he's wonderful. And he says this, saying with a loud voice, here's what they say. Now, all of a sudden, it's not just the four, not just the 24, that's just 28, but they just representative of all this number now. Now we've got the angels, and we've got all the saints of God around the throne. Oh, isn't it going to, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Listen, if you don't like going to heaven, I'm sorry for you. And I'm sorry that I'm going to have to leave this week and come back to earth next week. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and in the earth and under the earth as such are in the sea. Have you heard that somewhere? Did you hear that somewhere? Did you not hear that from David? Thousands of years prior, say the exact same thing. Let everything that's in heaven and earth and in the sea praise Him. Well, how could that be? How could David know the same thing that John knew? Well, I'll tell you why. Because David knew the same God that John knew, that had the same Holy Spirit that John had, that wrote the same book. And there's no difference. There's no difference. And he says, and every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I sing, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. Amen. Huh? Yeah, so let it be. So let it be. That's the truth. And the 24 elders, they said, I ain't had enough yet. I think I'm going to get me a little more. And the 24 elders fell down, worshiped him that liveth. Listen, I don't know what all is going to be going on in heaven, folks. I don't. I don't know what God's got in store for me and for them that love him. I don't. I wish I could give you this great picture. I can't. But I know without a shadow of a doubt one thing, bless God, that is going on in heaven. And there ain't much of it going on down here. That's praising Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him, giving glory to Him. Listen, I told my brother, I said, Dave, I said, it has to be, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but it has to be the fact that we are in this sin-cursed, vile flesh that we're in that causes us to not break loose and have a good old worship service. I don't know what it is. I long for it. I look for it. And maybe I won't see it till I get to heaven. But I can guarantee you one thing. I will see it then. I'll be a part of it then. There won't be any hindrance. There won't be any of this stuff. Well, I wonder what I'm going to do tomorrow. God help us all. See you next week. I'll be back on earth. Unfortunately. Hello, Todd. Give me a hug, son.